Amen. Thank you, Sister Johnson. Brother Burton knows how I feel now. Those senior moments get more and more frequent. Well, in our pastor's absence, he has asked Brother Morgan to bring the message tonight. So, Brother Morgan, you come on and preach to us.
All right. Amen. I like being whistled at. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Missions month. You remember that? We're in missions month. And so I figured we'd just kind of continue with the theme of missions. And tonight I'm going to get really down to kind of some nuts and bolts of faith promise missions. Just what exactly and why exactly? See that little word at the top, faith, promise, goal. All right? So why do we have a faith promise missions conference? Why don't we just have a missions conference and encourage people to give money to missions and not set a goal? Why do we need to set a goal? And I want to talk about that a little, but I'd like to lay a foundation somewhat, and I want to play off of the theme of the missions conference. So it's hold the rope, but I like the second half of again, once and again. Once and again. So Philippians chapter 4, we'll start in verse number 14. It says, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed into Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent. You see that? Ye sent once and again. When you hear that phrase once and again, what comes to your mind? Once or twice? No, once and again, and again, and again. Go, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just a couple of pages, a few pages over to the right. And we'll look at verse number 18. The only other time you see that phrase used in this way, you see it right here. Verse number 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. Do you think that Paul is just saying, I would have come unto you just once or twice because I really love you. And I'm just going to come twice. It's once and again. I want to see you often. And Paul is saying, you sent unto me once and again. You sent unto me over and over again whenever I was ministering, by the way, to the Thessalonians in Macedon. You sent once and again. All right? Now, what's this all about? There's a lot of things that's been sent. I looked at all the send and sense in the Bible. It's about 185 times in the New Testament that you find the word sent or send. Most of it is Jesus sending somebody to do something, or somebody sending somebody to do this, that, or other thing. But look at this. Go, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, in verse 16, we know that. It's we all ought to have that memorized, but look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now look at verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why did he send him then? But that the world through him might be saved. So the first thing that needs to be sent is Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins. Right? I mean, this is an important thing, and God made that provision. That's a done deal, and anybody that trusts him will be saved. Amen. And if you're here and you're not saved, let me encourage you. We're going to have an invitation after the service. I'm going to step down here. I'm going to pick up this mic, and I'm going to encourage people that aren't saved to come forward, and we want to take a Bible and show you how you can know when you die you're going to heaven. That's what it's all about. But Jesus was sent to begin that process, and he began it and he finished it. Amen. But then when he left, he said, go ye. Look if you would. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John 17, verse 18. And Jesus is praying. By the way, you want to know what the Lord's Prayer is? Read chapter 17. All right? This is the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer the Lord prayed. He gave us a model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, a model of how we should pray. Not a model of things that we should repeat. All right? But look, if you would, at 17, verse 18, it says this, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So here's the sending again. God sent his Son. The Son is going to complete the process, and he's going to die for the sins of the world, and then he goes back up into heaven, but he's got to have somebody to go out and tell people about what he did. And so he says, just like God sent me to do the job I've got to do, I'm sending you to complete the job by taking the message of what I have done to the rest of the world. All right, move on. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse number 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So send I you. You know the song? To labor unrewarded. By the way, the labor was never unrewarded. It may have been unrewarded on this world, on this earth, but it's not unrewarded. Amen. But so send I you. As a missionary for 26 years, I was sent for this very purpose. Just like Jesus was sent to die for the sins of the world, I was sent to announce that Jesus died for the sins of the world. I was sent to Romania. Others have been sent to other places. So we're sent. As people that are sent, by the way, once the New Testament church began operating the way it was supposed to, and this began about chapter 13 in the book of Acts. So go there real quick. How many of you are taking the book of Acts in the Institute? All right, we've seen a little bit of this. Acts chapter number 13. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Silas, Simeon, and which was called Niger, and Lucian of Cyrene, Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Silas, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, what'd they do with them? They sent them away. All right, so Jesus died, was sent of the Father. He died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead. He did what he was sent to do. When he left, he left a commission to the church, go out and I'm sending you out to tell people about what I did so that they can be saved. And in all this rest of this stuff, he also died for his church. He loved his church. He gave his life for it. And he ordained the church to be the body through which the gospel is sent out. All right? And by the way, that responsibility for getting the gospel out isn't just to Haines City for us. It's all around the world. So, go to John again, chapter number 14. Again, when somebody is sent, he sends us to tell people about Jesus, sends us through the local church, but in John chapter number 14, he equips us. He sends something else to help us out, right? So he sent Jesus. Jesus sends us. The local church ordains us and sends us out by the wooing or by the impulse of the Holy Spirit. But look what he says here in chapter 14. Look at verse number 26. Verse number 26, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." Okay, so the Holy Spirit is sent. He's going to be sent. The Holy Spirit was sent. Everybody that's saved has the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He teaches us everything we need to know. What do we need to know? How to tell people about Jesus. Amen? How to be in shape, how to be spiritually usable so that we can tell people about Jesus. That's why we're supposed to live a clean, holy life. That's why we're supposed to attend church and be encouraged in the body of Christ. All right? Chapter 15. Verse number 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from my Father, he shall testify of me." By the way, you want to know if something's true or not? We've got a group that goes around talking about the Holy Ghost a lot. Have you ever heard about that group? And everything has to do with the Holy Ghost this and the Holy Ghost that. If they're filled with the Holy Ghost, they ain't going to be talking about the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? They're not going to be talking about the Holy Ghost. The Bible says when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to testify not of himself, he's going to testify of Jesus Christ. So what's our job? All right, Jesus was sent by the Father. Jesus has sent us, and he's sent us out of the church, and he's given us the Holy Spirit so whereby we can testify about how great America is. No? To testify about how great my section of the Independent Baptist movement is. By the way, I believe I'm in a great section of the Independent Baptist movement. I believe that. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. Amen. But what am I supposed to talk about? How great the Republican Party is. No, we're supposed to testify about who? Jesus Christ. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're equipped. But there's still something missing. There's still something we need. Go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. By the way, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall speak in tongues and heal people." Is that what it said? You want the real evidence of the Holy Spirit filling? It's not speaking in tongues and it's not healing people. The real evidence that somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit of God is not running up and down an aisle waving a hanky. The real evidence is when that guy walks out the back door of the church, he tries to find somebody to tell about Jesus. That's what it is. "After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 11, verse 29. So, have you held your finger in Philippians? Probably not, huh? Are you like me? I forgot to tell you we were going back there. So in Philippians, Paul says, "Ye sent once and again unto my need," or my necessity. In verse 14, he says, "Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with me with my affliction." In other words, you sent once and again. My affliction, what is that? I was hungry. I needed somebody to give me money so I could buy food. My electric bill was due. I needed somebody to send me money so I could pay my electric bill, or my rent, or my house payment, or buy gas for my camel, or whatever. And so, God's done a lot of it. He sent Jesus, and He told us to go out, and He told some to go way out. He told some to go to other countries where you have to buy a visa every 6 months to 5 years, depending on the country. And they're not cheap. And when they see, hear your accent or your lack of ability to speak in their language, when you go to try to get a house, the price triples and quadruples as far as rent goes. And so there's a missing element. The Holy Spirit will empower me to witness. But the Bible says that some of the responsibility of sending out the missionary falls on the church to see that the missionary is provided for when he goes out. And this is what Paul is talking about here. Now, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 29, did I read that? Let me read it again. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send what? Relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now, I don't think he's talking about Alka-Seltzer. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Am I dating myself? I don't think he's talking about insoles for your shoes to give relief to your feet. I think he's talking about financial relief. And this has to be sent. The Holy Spirit was sent. God gave a powerful tool for us. And the Holy Spirit's not a tool, it's a person, but you understand what I'm saying. But some of the responsibility falls on us to see that the missionaries are relieved of some burdens. Relief, financial relief. Move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1. Says, now concerning the collection for the saints. By the way, this is not an easy subject to talk about. You start talking about money and people's wallets start getting really tight. Their back starts aching because they're sitting on their wallet. So I knew it. I'd come to church, they'd want to try to get my money. I feel sorry for you if that's the way you feel about it. You know that giving is a privilege. As a matter of fact, if you don't give with a willing heart, cheerfully, you're not worshiping God. It's part of worship. It's part of showing your love. How do you show your love to your loved ones? You buy them gifts. You do things for them. You love them. And because you love them, you give. And if you come to church and you don't want to find an opportunity to give, makes me wondering if you love Jesus. Well, Jesus doesn't need my money. He sent some people to go to the foreign mission field. To win people to Him. And the only way they have of being supported is through the offerings of these churches just like this one. Let's move on. Chapter 16, verse number 2. Verse 1, 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I give an order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, amen. People worshiped on the first day of the week, not Saturday. Amen. All right, just thought I'd throw that out. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or a Seventh-day Baptist. upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. So this is the storehouse. This is where you store it. This is where it's gathered up, stored, and then dispersed. This is the warehouse. As God hath prospered him. And by the way, where do you live? In the United States of America? Where the poorest person around here that is living on welfare has at least one car, a big screen TV, and an iPhone 15. Is that what it is now? From Verizon. For free. With a 5-year expensive contract. Anyway. That there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, let them, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So this is something that had to be sent to relieve the poor saints in Jerusalem. Now let's get back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. This is something that was well done. Now, if we look at the previous verses, Paul is kind of dancing around the issue a little bit, and he's talking about, it's not that I desire a gift. Don't be mad at me because I said something about money in church. I can do without your money. God will take care of me, and God will take care of me. God always took care of me. 26 years, God always took care of me. Because there were about 60 churches, 40 to 60 churches, 65 churches sometimes, that sent once and again unto my necessity. All right? And so he skates around the issue a little bit. Then he says, notwithstanding. I know God's going to take it. God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. We love that. But he says, oh, notwithstanding, ye have well done. It was a good thing you did. It was well done. I know God would have met my need without it, but you get to take part in what I did. You get to have a part in what God allowed me to do in Thessalonica. Look if you would. Go back to 1 Thessalonians again, chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 9. He says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Remember how hard I worked? Remember all the work I did? I mean, day and night, labor and travail. I worked trying to get a church established here, trying to get a congregation built, trying to get a pastor trained so that when I left, you'd be a stable church. How I labored and travailed. For laboring night and day. I labored in this work night and day. All right, look at this. Because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Now, why was it that he was able to labor in preaching the gospel to them night and day? How could he do that? How can he do that and not have to, during the day sometimes, start making tents like he did sometimes? Right. What made that possible? Well, go back to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 15. It says, now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, where is Thessalonica? It's in Macedonia. By the way, he even says it, just comes right out and says it. Verse number 16, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again. You know why Paul was able to labor night and day in Thessalonica? Because in Thessalonica, the Philippians sent once and again to his necessity. Everybody with me? Anybody mad? All right. Now, here's the nuts and bolts. Why do we do this? Why do we have a gauge? Why do we have a faith promise mission? Why do we try to set a goal? Why do we... Excuse me. I forgot to do something. Why do we have these cards? Why do we ask you to put an amount in here of how much you're going to give a week or how much you're going to give a month? Why is that important? So that we as a church can form a budget to know how much we can send once and again to the necessity of the missionaries on the mission field. You understand that? I am sure that there are some people here that say, I don't have to fill out a card, I'm going to give a certain amount. And we take up these are not pledges, these are promises to God made between you and God by faith to support the mission program of the church so that the church, by faith, trusting that you will do what you said to God by faith, can make a plan as to how many missionaries are going to support next year. And when you don't fill out a card and turn it in, we don't know about that money. And it may be 6 months down the road before we know about that money. By how much the mission budget is a little above the budget. I don't know how often that happens. But here's why this is important. By the way, your name on this is optional. We're not even going to come hunt you down. Now, the radio station, Brother Doug, he'll come hunt you down if you don't send your pledge in. They'll send you a letter every month. We're not going to send you a letter. We're not going to come to your house. We're not going to say, now I know why you're sick. You didn't give your faith promise. We're not going to do that. This is just a little promise that you made, you prayed about, and you said, you know, God, I think with your help, I could do this much. We had six different missionaries during our missions conference. Five of those missionaries, if I'm thinking correctly, five of those guys we don't support yet. And they came to this missions conference. They've said very little about needing support, but they all need support. And you know what they're thinking? You know what they're praying? They're praying, I hope that they take that mission gauge down and paint up a new one so that they can take us on for support. Why? Because they want the money? No, they want to labor night and day. And have their needs met so they can go to Uganda or so that they can go to the Philippines or so that they can go to wherever it is they're going, and they can do that without having to worry about their finances. And it's our job as a church to do that. All right? God sent Jesus. Jesus sent the missionaries. And he sent them through a local church. And the local church, as the sending agencies and as the supporting agencies of these missionaries, has an obligation to hold that rope. How do you hold the rope? By sending once and again to their necessities. According to my calculations, we support between, and it's hard to say, but about 230 to 240 mission projects around the world. That's a lot of missionaries. But there's a lot of people that still need to go. And in order for us to continue to support those missionaries and take on new missionaries, we've got to be able to tell them, we're not going to take on a new missionary if we can't send them support once and again. Amen. A one-time love offering, that's wonderful. Whenever I'm in the States on furlough, going from church to church, reporting to my churches, those one-time love offerings were necessary so that I could pay for my fuel, so that I could pay for rooms, so that I could pay for meals on the road. And you know how it is on the road. You can't just eat anywhere. A little hard to make peanut butter sandwiches in a four-door sedan with seven kids. Praise the Lord, I didn't have to do that very much. What I'm saying is this. What missionaries need are churches that can commit themselves to sending that monthly check once and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And for Landmark Baptist Church and Jim Morgan, it was every month for 26 and a half years. Better than that, it was about 30 years, counting the time I was on deputation. Let me encourage you to do this. Take this card. Take it home. Pray over it. Don't say, well, this is just between me and God. It is between you and God. Don't put your name on it. Turn it in. Let us know what you're going to do this year so that we can tell those five new missionaries that we're going to do the once and again thing with them too. So that we can do it early. We don't have to wait 6 or 8 months to see if the money's really going to come in. Right. Or we got an overage in our budget. We can take those guys on. You know when they need the support? They need it now. Yeah. Well, one of the guys is at 85%, just a few more churches and he'll be there. I want to be that church. Yeah. Don't you? That puts that guy over the edge so that he can go ahead and buy his tickets maybe 3 to 6 months early. So what's this all about? You know what? Next week, and I'm sorry I'm going to be gone, but I will turn my card in early. Next week, we're going to have a business meeting. It's probably the most important business meeting that we'll have in this church. It'll be after the end of the morning, the evening service, I believe, or is it after the morning service they take up the cards? All right. Going to take up these cards. And you know what you're going to vote on? You're going to vote with this card as to what Landmark Baptist Church is going to do in world evangelism. This is your vote. Am I going to vote to continue supporting our missionaries and take on more? Or am I going to vote? It's not that important to me. By the way, when we fail to evangelize, we will begin to cannibalize. You know what that means? We'll start biting and devouring each other if we don't get together on evangelization. One of the ways we evangelize is that. One of them is soul winning marathon. One of them is Wednesday soul winning with the teens. Another one is on Saturday morning. When we quit doing all that and we quit doing that, we'll start biting and devouring each other. And this church will fall apart. Get into the program. Become a part of Faith Promise Missions. Well, I just don't know if all those missionaries are worthy of it. God's worthy of your giving. Amen? God's worthy. You're not giving it. When you were giving money to me, you weren't giving it to me. You were giving it to God. God used me to do some work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the missionaries that are doing it. Well, what if it's a bad missionary? God, be sure your sins will find you out. God will take care of that. Amen? Well, let me go back to the basics. Why was Jesus sent? He was sent to die on the cross, to be buried, and to rise again from the dead so that people could get saved. If you're here and you're not saved, a lot of what I've been talking about is foolishness. It doesn't mean anything to you because you can't understand. But here's one thing you can understand. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. He was buried and rose again. And that if you will acknowledge your sin and receive him as your Savior, he will save you. It's as simple as that. Don't leave without Jesus. Listen, all this is worthless if we're not going to tell people about Jesus with it. All the soul winning in the world, going out with the teens and going house to house, is worthless if we're not going to tell people about Jesus. And having a church service and talking about missions is wonderful, but if we're not going to tell you about Jesus while you're here even, if you're not here and you're not saved, let me encourage you, get saved today. As the pianist comes to the piano, we start the invitation. Would you stand, please? And if the Lord spoke to your heart in any way about missions, about giving, about receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you just come down here to the front? Someone will take a Bible and show you what you need to do to be saved.